Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am back, having this week watched wrestling in order to do this wrestling podcast, and I am joined, as always, by the man who never stops watching wrestling. It's my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, hello.
I wish I could stop. They're prying my eyes open.
Kelly watches all his wrestling Clockwork Orange style.
Yeah. I'm screaming through it. So, you know, if I review a match and I'm like, that wasn't very good, I don't know. Maybe you should probably take the experience into account.
Sure. That it's not only what's happening, but the setting in which it's happening.
Yeah.
Well,
Taylor, you watched some wrestling on a plane, didn't you?
I did watch wrestling on a plane. I paid $8 for the privilege of watching wrestling on a plane, which $8 for about 5 hours of Wi-Fi is not a bad price.
Yeah, no, that's a good deal, actually. I'd take that.
I have to say, it did quit out twice on me for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But other than that, no complaints. Went very smoothly. I was on a plane...
with cocaine?
Directly surrounded in sort of there would be no sort of more bad way to do this. Surrounded by three small children.
Fantastic.
There was a small child directly in front of me, directly behind me, and to the side.
Did you know any of these children?
I didn't know any of these children. For about the first 45 minutes of the flight, they did a perfect job of switching off scream crying. So one would cry, then they would get better, and the other would cry. Have to shout out the technology of modern headphones.
Yeah.
To block out that sound. Because once I put my headphones in, I was like, scream all you want. But, you know, there's the beginning where they're like, oh, you can't use your laptop or you can't, do this, do that. Including a very weird one. The plane I was on had adjustable headrests on it. And during takeoff, the flight attendant came on and said, and you also have to put down your headrests into the bottom position, which was like on my back. And they're like, we don't know why, but... that's what the airline tells us we have to do. Maybe they're afraid about the thing whiffing off in turbulence or something. I don't know. But very weird. But the plane took off on time. It landed early. So, I mean, really, can't complain.
Yeah.
The airline industry, where the bare minimum of what you have purchased... you're like, this is amazing.
This is the best flight I've ever had.
Like if you got in a car and it's like, oh, it's going to take 15 minutes and it took 14 minutes. And you're like, this is the greatest car I've ever been in.
Standing and applauding.
great. You haven't ruined multiple of my days. And for that, I thank you. Shout out to Alaska Airlines.
A little plug. You went to, did you go to Alaska?
I did not go to Alaska. I did go to the West Coast. But I did not go to Alaska. Alaska goes other places besides Alaska.
I don't know about that.
They're actually, I believe their main hub is Seattle. So a little bit deceptive. Also, they merged with Hawaiian Airlines.
That makes sense.
I think recently, I don't know if they're going to change the airline name. It seems odd to be like, I'm flying Alaska Airlines to Hawaii. That's weird.
Just call it like the United States Outlaw States Airlines.
4950 Airlines. Yeah.
We don't want to be states signed the states.
Well, anyway, I did watch wrestling on the plane, and that wrestling I watch on the plane is the wrestling we're going to talk about on this episode. Not right now, because the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get the plugs in. Follow us on Blue Sky at JBomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tame Rainbow. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and a 5-star review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. All right, let's get into it. Two big shows happening in the last 2 weeks and happening very recently and happening on the same day. So the first of those shows was Stardom's 5-star Grand Prix Finals from Ryogoku Sumo Hall in front of 5,004 fans. And according to the hubbub I saw, possibly 5,004 photographers. Kelly, did you read about this?
No.
They came out with a statement, I think today, apologizing to people sitting in the front rows that there were too many photographers at ringside that were blocking the action. And they, I believe, have promised to lower the number of photographers so that people can see what's going on. A weird thing that I thought was only a problem at like low-level indie shows.
Yeah.
Like, you go to an indie show and you sit in the front row, you're not seeing shit.
No.
Some dork is going to be standing in front of you with a camera the whole time. But I guess it is happening at Stardom, and maybe it won't happen again. 5,004 fans, pretty good.
Yeah. I don't feel like I even really noticed, like, a bunch of photographers when I was watching.
I don't know that I pay attention. I don't know if there had been no photographers or a million photographers, would I have noticed.
There's one guy I always notice for whatever, like the old guy with the glasses, and I don't know why, but every time I see him on a show, I'm like, hey, look at that guy.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
there's one older man photographer, and
I believe you, but I just don't, just like, they're part of the walls. So sorry to photographers, but that is true. Kelly, this show, what'd you think of it?
Yeah.
I think that's about accurate. I'm getting into a mode, and maybe it's just being in the 5-star time of year. As we talked about last episode or two episodes, this is not like I know some people love this period. This is not my favorite period of the wrestling year.
Yeah.
Just cause I'm like, thousands of matches, tournament matches. I don't get into it. But sort of a show where I was watching being like, I think this is good. but I'm having not a lot of reaction.
No, like this show really made me realize I'm kind of tired of Stardom right now. I'm just like, I've seen enough lately.
It was also a very good, we'll talk about another tournament ending show in a second. Really quite, what am I trying to say here? Quite on opposite ends in terms of sort of my emotional reaction at yes. the end of two tournaments.
Yes.
We'll get into it with the individual matches, but I thought a very sort of airless, like, the company has decided this and it's happening. And it's like, do you enjoy it or not? Well, it's happening. But let's get into it. I highlighted the show, so I only saw a handful of matches, but I did see they started the show with the two semifinal matches from the five-star Grand Prix. The first one, Starlight Kid defeating Suzu Suzuki in 16 minutes and 56 seconds. I actually liked this match after I just spent all this time being like, hey, it wasn't a show.
Match of this was really good.
I was like, oh, this is pretty good. Like, the show started off, I was like, oh, this is enjoyable. I went 4 stars, thought it was good. You know, obviously with these semifinal matches, you can sort of feel them being like, well, I'm not going to blow all my great spots now. And also I have to wrestle for another 30 minutes in 3 hours or however long it took. But I thought very well worked, very solid. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, a really good way to open the show. Kid does such a good job doing limb work matches and not making them feel boring at all. Like, she keeps kind of the high speed pace, but still spends most of her time picking apart people's legs. I find that just how she does that very interesting, and she's one of the best at it at the moment. Yeah, I went 4 on this as well. I really liked it.
Then it was the other semi-final match. That was Rena defeating Micah in 16 minutes and 51 seconds. Kelly, I was thinking of you this whole show.
Oh.
As I was watching. Well, I know how strongly you have felt about Rena.
Yeah.
In the past.
Yeah.
And remembering what you said, you know, I sort of watched this match and the next match that she was in with that in mind. And I was wondering, what does Kelly think about this?
In my notes, I say pretty standard Stardom House style minor epic, which that sure is a chain of words, but like, I know what it means. this is every Rena match I've ever seen. And I'm not really excited to see anymore. Like, this is the match she has. Everyone kicks out of everything, and then she wins or loses, and you know she won here, and it's fine. I don't know. She just does not connect with me on any level.
Yeah, I thought this was mainly fine. This, even more than the first one, was the match where I was like, ah, saving it for later.
Yep.
I see.
Well, you know what they didn't save? Going into those chairs.
How many, if you counted up the number of chairs that were hit, that were like knocked over, run into, in the last month.
Oh, Jesus.
However long it's been. Is it like 1,000 chairs?
You might be getting to 1,000. Like, when I was watching this show and people kept getting flung into chairs, I was thinking about how I felt on Fourth of July this past year. So my neighbors started shooting off fireworks at 6:30 in the evening. And I finally went to bed at midnight. 12:30, actually. And as I'm getting ready, I'm going to sleep, getting in bed, I hear them light off another one, and one of them goes, ooh! And I almost went outside and was like, how are you dipshits still impressed by this? You've been doing it for 6 hours. And that's kind of how I feel whenever I see someone get flung into the chairs.
It is funny because there's going to be a match coming up where someone did get flung into chairs that I did like.
Yep.
But the worst thing about it is out of the every 10 matches that have people flung into the chairs, how many of them does it actually look good slash painful slash effective? One?
Yeah, half the time they just kind of latch onto one chair and slide it across into the others.
And it's like slow running. You know, there's the one where it's like, I'm really going to whip you into these chairs. That yeah. almost never happens. And it's, I don't know.
That I'm gets not saved in, for I'm, the maniacs later in the show.
I'm not in the audience at any of these shows. I'm sitting at home. But if I was going to the, if I
I'd
was
be
in
pissed.
The audience, I'd be like, just or go over in the other side and do the chair, you know.
Yeah.
You got to get up. You got to move out of the way. You got to, your chair gets hit. You got to put the chair back and the chair's never in the right place.
Well, that was like that Dragon Gate Kuriken we went to where they kept getting flung into our chairs. And I'm kind of convinced became a bit at some point.
Well, didn't we spill something in the beginning?
Yes.
Did someone spill something? I
yeah,
think
Paul
maybe
spilled
it was
an entire beer.
Yes. I think it was revenge for that.
Yeah.
It was like, we'll teach you. I do remember that. Yes. And, but that was like one show.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are some people who, you know, follow Stardom around. I don't know. Maybe people like going, you know, Kyoko Kotatsu got thrown into my chair. I can't wait to sit back on it. You know, whatever. But yeah, just a match. I also, it's funny, I will tell the, I guess, behind the scenes moment to moment of this, which is Starlight Kid won the first match, and I thought, oh great, she's going to win the tournament. This is great. And then Rena won, and I had remembered that Kelly had messaged me before I started the show saying, I got spoiled. I was trying to avoid spoilers and I got spoiled. But in a way, I don't remember what your exact wording was, but I was like, is he upset because Rena won?
Kind of, yes. But also, so like yesterday, I didn't start watching the show until like 4:30 and I was trying to avoid spoilers. And then I opened Twitter because I had to get to my DMs. And as I open the app, the very first thing I see is the end with the winner, Rena holding the trophy and shit. And I was just like, come on!
I was like the meme of from Futurama with the closing eyes. That was me watching the show yesterday. I was like, uh-oh. So, yeah, Rena defeated Micah, and so Starlight Kid and Rena is your final. But before we got to that, we had a whole bunch of matches that Kelly's going to talk about.
Yeah, so like I don't have many thoughts on the matches themselves, but like a lot of stuff happened after the matches. So you had this four-way tag, Koguma and Hamabe win. In the post-match, B. Priestley shows up to attack Ann Kanaya to get revenge for her broken nose. And it was very funny because B comes out and attacks. And like she doesn't have music or anything play. She just, you know, rushes the ring. And the commentators did not know who she was. And I didn't know who she was. So I felt like I was at the table with the commentary team. Like, we're all just like, what? Who is this? And eventually, I start thinking, like, B. Priestley? And then one of the commentators, B. Priestley! And I'm like, oh, shit, okay, I was right. It's very funny. It took them a lot longer than it should have. Like, it didn't even feel like they were clued in. Like, it really just, the way they were talking seemed very confused. But yeah, so B attacks Aunt Kanaya to get revenge for her broken nose, says she's going to break her face, and they're going to have a singles match at some point. Koguma pinned Yuna Mizumori to win the match to set up a high-speed title challenge, too. So you get two matches coming out of this match that lasted less than 5 minutes. Oh, what we got next? We got a 10-person tag. This was weird. Because, like, so God's Eye team wins, and they're all like, hell yeah, you know, we did it. We're the best unit. And it's like, all right, you guys beat a team of people who have, like, never tagged together. You, like, the Misfit Island of Toys here. Like, Hanako, Maki Ito, Azumi Miyamasaki, and Wakasukiyama. Like, what? When have these people ever teamed before? So, of course, the team with more experience is going to win here, you silly gooses. But yeah, Amisore wins and then challenges Hanan. And I was like, oh, that match is going to happen. Amisore, another person where I watch a match and I'm like, I feel nothing. She pinned Hanako and I'm like, you guys are basically the same person. What we got next? We got a trios match. Hate Team beats Mi Vida Loca. This sets up Tora challenging Suzu Suzuki for the red belt. Get into it. What we got next? We got the match that both Taylor and I assumed were for the New Blood tag titles, but are in fact not. Kyoko Furusawa and Rana Yagami defeat Cosmic Angels. Good. This was good. I liked this quite a bit. I went 3 3/4 on it. Good hard fought match. I really like whenever we get to see Rana and Aya Sakura wrestle, because they don't wrestle like anyone else on the roster for the most part. So I do enjoy their matches quite a bit. In the post-match, Rana is like, hey, who wants to wrestle me for the title? And then a bunch of children rush the ring. And then Rana's like, all right, Akira Kurigane, you're the next challenger. So they're going to have a match at some point for the future? Yeah, future starting title. Then what we got? We got Hate defeating Stars, Momo, Watanabe, and Saya Kamitani beating Hanan and Saya Ida. Good match. No real thoughts on it. Like, it was just a good match. I also went 3 3/4 on this. And then after the match, Momo and Saya make a challenge for the tag titles. So they're basically just setting up their entire next big show with the undercard of this show.
And then we had the semi-main event, part of Natsupoi's retirement road. A singles match defeating Sayori Ano in 25 minutes and 32 seconds. I don't know what it was about this match, but around the 20-minute mark, I was like, let's call it. Let's wrap it here, please. And it didn't wrap. It's one of those things where, like, you get the near falls, and every near fall, you're like, ah, that could have been the end.
Yeah.
That could have been the end. That would have been good. I don't know. It just, I don't know. Just did not click at all with me. I was just sort of like, I'm sure this is good, but shrug.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. I like what these two maniacs do. Like, just fucking dropping each other on their heads. This had the throwing the chairs spot. That was good. Because they fucking throw each other. Like, are we going to run this back again when Poi actually retires? Because this felt like the retirement match. Yeah, I always enjoy watching these two wrestle each other. I liked it a lot. This was my favorite match of the show. I went 4.5 on it.
And then the main event, the 5-star Grand Prix final match, Rina defeating Starlight Kid in 27 minutes and 3 seconds. I thought this was good. I went 4 stars. I thought it was well worked. I wasn't really into it. Rena winning is sort of a shrug for me. Just sort of feels like it doesn't really feel like there's many people who are like, oh, this person's rising up the ranks. It just sort of feels like, okay, booking will just pick a person and, you know, they'll go.
Yeah.
Like less, oh, they're getting better. They're improving. Like Rena's, I guess, been hanging out around that mid-card sort of level for a while. You know, Starlight Kid, I don't know. Maybe people were, many years ago when we started this podcast, I was like, she's great and they should be pushing her more. And people were like, no, she's a lower mid-carder. And I think she's better than that. And I'm bummed that she just sort of seems to be like, I don't know. I don't know what to call her.
Just elder, like, oh, we'll play. Elder statesman of the roster.
Yes, 25-year-old elder statesman. Just sort of like, oh, we'll plug you in when we need you, but we don't actually think you're all that necessary. So, you know, you can lose the 5-star Grand Prix, have a belt for a little bit, but lose it. Have a sort of meaningless title challenge. I don't know. It was just sort of a thing where
I could see her beating Suzu. Like, I could see her getting a title challenge and winning.
I mean, maybe, but she just lost. It's one of those annoying things where it's like, well, she just lost the tournament for a title match. So,
well, because I think Rena's going to go after her sister.
I mean, possibly. That also doesn't really interest me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, great. I always think if you win the, you know, G1 Grand Prix, whatever, and you don't challenge for the top title, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Like, why would you, what? You just put yourself, you know, supposedly you just put yourself through hell.
Think of how many chairs you got thrown into.
And you're like, oh, I'll challenge for the sort of like the C belt. That's fine. No, you have a free shot. You know, it probably would work better if, you know, getting a title challenge didn't just depend on wandering out to the ring at the right moment. Like if there was some system that was like, oh, it's sort of difficult to get a title challenge. No, all it requires is standing by the curtain during the main event and then walking out.
Yeah. And having won a match in, like, recent days.
Yeah. At any point in the last week.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Just, I know that there have been 5-star Grand Prix in the past that have been like, yeah, great. What a, you know, what a conclusion. A great winner. This is exciting. And I was just sort of like, oh, okay. That's what they want to do. That's fine.
I felt about this match the way I kind of felt about this entire tournament, where I'm like, I'm watching wrestling, and it sure is wrestling. I don't think it's bad, but I don't really think it's good either. It's just there. It's happening. And it's like, this tournament has really made me realize there is a good chunk of this roster that I do not like. And there is a bunch of this roster that just was not in this tournament. Like, watching the Poi and Sayori match, I realized, like, damn, they sure could have made the 5-star better if they were in it. Sure would have been cool to have Hazuki in there and Siori as just like, well, we got all these people who kind of all wrestle exactly the same and just kind of had the same match every night. And this was just more of that, but longer. And like, yeah, it's arena match. Just stuff happens. Everyone kicks out of everything. There's no real connective tissue. Rena's getting her leg destroyed, but don't worry, it's fine. I can do double knee drops off the top. Like, I don't know, man. it's just, it doesn't work for me. The fans clearly like it, like her, like the crowd was really into it. I also don't like seeing hate out there, like celebrating. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like Natsuka Tora should be like playing with streamers and shit, you know? Like, you'd never catch Dump Matsumoto being like, I fucking love shiny streamers. Like, no, she'd be stabbing a ring boy or something.
Yeah, I mean, my main thought is it's good wrestling, but it's someone else's good wrestling.
Yeah. Like, this is a take that people aren't going to like, but whatever. Rina is in the same class to me as Seth Rollins and Johnny Gargano, where they're good wrestlers that are bad, actually. Like, they're the best bad wrestlers. It's just like, you can do a whole lot of cool things, but I don't think it adds up to much.
Well, it's old Saya Kamatani that we used to talk about for months and months, and everyone was like, you're wrong, you're wrong. You know, we were like, great, she can do a Phoenix Splash that lands on people's heads and, you know, knocks their teeth out. That's great, but it all doesn't work. And lo and behold, she changes it up and takes off. And now she's great. And it's like, whoops, we were right about that.
I look forward to being proven right once again. But that's the thing. Rina's 19. She's still got so much room for growth. And like stuff like this really makes me worry for her future growth. Like, finding this much success so young can really stall you out as just a performer. So I am concerned in that way, where there is definite potential with her. There is something there. I don't think it's there yet. But also, she must be the nicest person in the world, because like, all of her matches are the same, which means she kind of lays all of these matches out and everyone just goes along with it, which is kind of nuts with her being so young. So like, I don't know. She must be like beloved by everyone. And that's awesome. That's great. I love that. But like, I don't know, man. I need a ornery old veteran to be like, nah, we're not doing that match. We're working my match. I'm going to hit you with this. You're not going to kick out. She needs to wrestle fucking Ozaki.
It could happen.
Yeah.
Yes.
We need someone old and grumpy to get in there.
Well, Kelly, across town, another tournament was ending, and that was Tokyo Joshi's Tokyo Princess Cup, which had their final show at Korakuen Hall, same day, in front of 927 fans. The best Tokyo Princess Cup number ever.
Hell yeah.
In fact, they had never even done in the 800s before.
Damn.
For Tokyo Princess. I believe the high was 742 or something, which was last year's.
Nice.
So a great number. Kelly, I have a feeling I know, but what did you think of this show?
Great show. Loved this show. Had a really good time with it. Tokyo Joshi, Kurikans remain undefeated. They're always a fun time. I've got a block of text in my notes before I even get to a single match talking about stuff that they announced before the show. Before I go into that, what do you think of the show?
I really enjoyed it as well. This was the show I watched on a plane. And it was great. I had a great time.
I just picture a small child tugging on your sleeve and being and like, explain this dancing match to me, sir.
It's Bonodori, of course.
They're like, ah, yes, the festival.
Well, Kelly, what's your block of text?
Okay, so before they started the show, they announced that Go Nagai is doing the key visual for Wrestle Princess. This is a massive get for Tokyo Joshi. Are you familiar with Go Nagai's work at all?
No, but I was listening to Mr. Haku be like, yeah, we've gotten people before, but they don't matter against this guy.
Yes.
I was like, oh shit.
Like, he's a legendary manga creator. Like, he's the dude behind Devilman, Cutie Honey, Violence Jack, Getter Robo, Mazinger Z. Like, to say he's influential is an understatement. He pretty much invented the entire, like, mecha genre. He added so much to, like, the magical girl genre. His works made huge leaps in, like, normalizing both sex and violence in manga. And he's the creator of Jushin Liger. Like, that's... Oh. That's a big fucking deal. Like, this, them announcing that was crazy. That's so cool. Like, I love that they got him for this. Like, that's awesome. And then the next note that I have is the new Up Up Girls song, I think, might be their best one yet.
Kelly, I have to shamefully admit that I did fast forward through all the pre-show in an attempt to get as much watched on the plane as I could. So I did not hear the song. What is the song called?
Sugar High.
Interesting.
It's very good. I'd recommend going back for it. Or just wait until the next show and maybe they'll perform it then.
I was going to say they've got some bangers, so that's a high bar.
Yeah, this is my favorite one. I really liked it.
Any more pre-show?
I think notes? That's it.
Okay. Well, on to the show itself. The show opened with the two quote-unquote rookies in a singles match. Shion Kanzaki getting her first victory, defeating Momo Sato in 5 minutes and 9 seconds. There was a gnarly-looking armbar in this from Shion.
Yeah. That
I really enjoyed. Other than that, thought it was nothing spectacular, about what you would expect. Solid work from both. I really like Shion because she does sort of stick out from the rest of the roster in terms of the look and sort of going with the rocker gimmick, I guess, in a way. So, again, 5-minute match. Nothing crazy. Nothing horrible happened. So, a solid match for me.
Yeah, I saw a picture the other day of Shion, like, at one of her gigs wearing a Shibata the Wrestler shirt, and I was like, damn, that's cool as hell. Like, she's one of the few people on this roster that, like, comes off as, like, actually cool, whereas love the Tokyo Joshi roster, they're mostly fucking dorks. Shion, actually cool. This is good. I thought they both did, like, more ambitious offense, and I thought they all pulled it off pretty well. And like you said, the Fujiwara from Shion looked awesome. So I think this is a good step in the right direction for both wrestlers.
Next was another singles match, a surprising result, at least on my end, where Sakura Hattori defeating Haru Kazushiro in 8 minutes and 53 seconds. Still a big fan of Haru's arm figure four, I guess they're calling it.
Yeah.
Really like that. And I really like that the pinning combination from Sakura was sort of complex.
That was crazy looking.
And it felt to me like, oh, that is something that could sort of get you a surprise victory as opposed to the usual... I did a roll up on you and whoops, I got it. It's like, oh, I could see how you could get in that pin and not know how to get out and lose.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely a believable victory, which I liked. I definitely think, and I understand that they're sort of not trying to go all speed ahead with Haru. I mean, she is still a child, so they're not in a rush. And maybe a sign that they will do a little bit more with Hattori. It seems like she sort of came back, had the title match, sort of had those matches on the Texas shows, and it sort of faded back a little. So maybe this victory pushes her up, because I think she's done well. Thing on the rope that annoys me usually. She did it faster.
Yes.
Where I was like, okay, you got through it quickly where you're not on the rope for 5 minutes doing whatever she's doing, making all her sounds and saying all her words. I still don't understand, what is she doing?
It's like fucking when the kids in like Naruto do that, and like it powers them up or something.
Oh, or like Power Rangers?
Kind of.
When they're like, go, I almost said go, go, Gadget.
Yeah, when they say go, go, Gadget, and then their arms get all long and springy.
When they're like, Tyrannosaurus power.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
That takes 2 seconds.
Yeah, this has got like hand stuff going on, and it's the whole thing.
Ninjas are complicated. It was faster, so I was okay with it.
I'm waiting for the day she's inevitably like in a DDT battle royal or something, and she's just up on the rope for like 5 minutes doing that while the person is swaying back and forth in the ring.
Well, that's what she has been doing, where it's like people stand up and then they stare at her as she does all her, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah, but like, thing. I mean, like, that's this will actually be the bit rather than, oh, it's just...
Oh, sure. what'd you think, Kelly?
I liked it. I thought it was a good time. Good limerick match. And I really liked the crazy looking roll-up that Hattori did.
Next was the Bon Odori Dance 6-person tag team match. You are required to dance the Bon Odori, which is a Japanese folk dance, in order to attempt a pin in the match. Palm Harajuku, Raku, and Yuki Aino, the Love Triangle, defeating... The Love Triangle also is a weird name for a team that has, in kayfabe, a 3-year-old on it.
And also not Raku's wife.
Yeah, they were like, oh, they've determined they're called the Love Triangle. And I was like, why? These three, like, mostly uninvolved. Like, obviously, Palm and Raku are often in the same match. But I'm like, and Yuki decided that? I'm like, I would think of other, you know, there's... other teams I could call Love Triangle, but I was like, okay, also there's a 3-year-old on this team, so cool it a little bit. Anyway, they defeated Hyper Misao, Mihiro Kiryu, and Shino Suzuki in 11 minutes and 41 seconds. Kelly, in a comedy match that I actually found very funny.
All right.
Did you?
No.
Oh, cool.
it just happened and it kept happening, and I was like, god damn it, this is far too long. And I started playing on my phone, and then the match ended, and I was like, oh, thank god.
I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was also good that oftentimes when they do these gimmicks, they do the gimmick for about 2 minutes and then they just sort of wrestle a average / below average match, which annoys me. But I was like, oh, they did the gimmick. You know, near the end, they had Shino doing the dance in a full Nelson to make a pin. I was like, that's funny. I did laugh. They start the match and they're like, we're all going to do the dance to demonstrate what the dance looks like, which later in the match did not help Yuki or Shino, who seemed to forget the entire dance. But I did laugh at the match starting, and 15 seconds in, Mihiro attempts a pin and does not do the dance.
Yeah.
And Hyper came in and was like, you have to do the dance.
You fool.
I thought it was funny. At one point, Mr. Haku was like, this match is going to go forever. Because the whole thing is you get your opponent down and then you have to do this dance. You're essentially doing like a 25 second pin.
Yeah.
On your opponent. And he's like, it's never going to end. And I was like, well, he may not be wrong. I thought it was going to end because they kept talking about, oh, they didn't say anything about submissions. I thought it was going to end with a submission. Like, without doing the dance. And then there would be some fight or something. I thought it was funny. I don't know. It got me. One person who looks at the glass half full and one person who looks half empty.
Oh, how were the kids really into the next match?
when I say kids, I mean literal, like, 1.5-year-olds, to be clear. Kids who didn't really understand anything that was going on.
Yeah, they have no concept of what's happening.
But speaking of, the next match was a tag team match, the reuniting Ober Eats, Wakano Uehara, and Yuki Kamifuku, defeating Mifu Ishida and the debuting Natsu Samire in 12 minutes and 23 seconds. I have one note on this match. And that
I do too.
That is, we've been talking about, oh, you know, they don't have the tag titles anymore. Now Wakana can go off and, you know, get better. What better way to improve a wrestler than have her in the ring with Natsu Samire?
Yep. That'll really get her going.
I also realized I haven't seen Samire in a while. And I was like, wow, this is the look now?
Because got some work done and she looks like an entirely different person now.
As Haku or Aki said on commentary, because they pop up the, you know, oh, here's the wrestler's name and here's some facts about them.
Yeah.
Samira's picture came up, might as well have been a different human being.
Yeah.
Because I was like, the picture also looks a bit strange.
Mm-hmm.
And then Haku or something was talking about she puts something on her eyeballs and she puts metal on her eyeballs or something. And I was like, what is he talking about? I was like, what on earth is he saying?
I remember him talking about the light up nipples.
Well, yes. Kelly, are you a Bronco Buster fan?
You know, sometimes. In fact, my one note for this match said this one was brought to you by Bouncing On It Crazy Style. Because boy howdy, that sure happened.
Yes, it did. We had it in the Stardom match. Yuki is not retiring until December 26th, and she's getting about 19 retirement matches.
Yeah. I do kind of like that her retirement matches are all weird so far.
Also, Tokyo Joshi deciding in 2026, we're going to bring in every comedy wrestler who hasn't appeared in the promotion before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Empty the chamber. I mean, is there anything to say about the match itself? No.
Not really. Like, for what it was fine.
Mifu Ishida, they're doing you wrong.
Yeah, she's got so much more potential than what they're using her for. And Natsu sure did a hump Kamiyu's face.
The next match was a tag team match. The duo of Himawari and Toga defeating Chika Nanase and Kira Summer in 12 minutes and 41 seconds. This was my mind is wandering match. Like, fine.
Yeah.
I think Chika Nanase, as we said a couple episodes ago, is getting better.
Mm-hmm.
She sort of, in my mind, has passed Kira as, if nothing else, the more intriguing of the two of them. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Kira needs to go back to wearing the Aja Kong face paint.
Kira also wears that little, like, baby tie. I don't know what to call that fashion.
Yeah.
Which always I can't endorse.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't.
But I'm like, oh, I think Kira is sort of what she is now. Nanase, there could be something there.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I'm more intrigued. On the other side, it sort of is what it's been before, which is Himawari, I think, is good. And Toga, I think, is sort of plateauing a bit.
I do like that Toga is using her size more to like make the stretch muffler more effective. I thought that was good. And I feel like that's a little progression for her.
I did like the standing stretch muffler. I like her moving away from only using moves that you would see on 2002 WWF programming.
Yeah.
Between the Rolling Thunder and the Rock Bottom.
But never stop doing the Rolling Thunder, please. It makes me laugh every time.
Then next was what I called in my notes the All-Star Trios six-person tag team match. They're all-stars to me.
It's goblin time.
Mei Suruga, Mizuki, and Uda Takami defeating Arisu Endo, Miyu Watanabe, and Ren Kanatsu in 12 minutes and 59 seconds. Thought this was really good. I went 4 stars, sort of an all-gas, no-breaks match. Love the Miyu and Mei Suruga interactions.
Yes.
Thought those were very fun. I thought Ren did really well, considering she was by far, well, not by far, I guess, because Uda was in there, but definitely in there with a lot of heavy hitters, and I think did very well in the whole thing. So I enjoyed it. I went 4 stars. I thought it was very good.
Yeah, I was just below you. I went 3 3/4. I liked it a lot. Two really fun teams here. Like, this is the time where I'm like, damn, maybe they should get a trio title. Because the Mei, Mizuki, and Uda team is so fun. And it's another one of those where I'm like, why don't they bring Mei in more often? I really hope they do. But yeah, this was great. Everyone did really well, and it was a lot of fun.
The semi-main event was another tag team match. Miyu Mashita and Yuki Arai defeating Hiroyo Matsumoto and Shoko Nakajima in 15 minutes and 51 seconds. I liked this one. I think I was probably in like the 3.5, maybe 3 3/4 range. Thought it was solid. Wasn't blown away. You know, two excellent workers, one very good worker and one solid worker, I would say, and figure out from there who I mean for each one. But yeah, I thought it was good. They sort of on English commentary were telling the story of Yuki Arai and Hiroyo Matsumoto, like a teacher-student story, which was sort of interesting. But I thought just sort of, hey, get some names on the show, and yeah, solid enough.
I liked it. I went 4 on this one. I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed the exchanges between Miyu and Matsumoto. And I thought just from like a story perspective, this was kind of a big match for Arai, because, you know, she avenged her loss in the tournament against Shoko, and then she got the approval from her trainer with Matsumoto. So I thought that was cool. I hope we see more of Matsumoto and Tokyo Joshi going forward. So yeah, I went 4 on this one, and every time I see Matsumoto, I am reminded of one of the first episodes of Jumping Bomb Audio I ever listened to, when it was discussed whether her gear is meant to look like a taco or a cheeseburger.
That's right. That was a long time ago.
That was what...
I knew the minute you said it, I was like, oh yeah, we did talk about that.
Yep. That was in the pre-Kelly times.
Yes, it was. Back when some weeks we really didn't have much to talk about. Because no shows were happening. Then the main event of the show, the Tokyo Princess Cup 2026 final match, Suzume defeating Rika Tatsumi in 20 minutes and 46 seconds to win the tournament. Kelly, what did you think of this match?
It was so good. I adored how this match was put together. And really, it just kind of goes to show that Suzume is such a unique wrestler in that she can work these matches where, like, Rika dominates most of the match, but then Suzume finds her opening, she cuts her off, and she kind of gets a little bit of offense in, but then Rika eventually cuts her back off and takes back control, and Suzume just keeps plugging away, and then eventually she catches her, and she's able to win, and so much of her offense is just about evasion and picking her spot, and it's just so unique in wrestling these days. Like, it's, I don't want to rag on Rena here, but it's like in total opposition to those matches from the five star where it's just, all right, we're gonna hit everything on everybody and we're all gonna do our moves and we're gonna get our shit in and then we'll kick out of everything and someone will eventually win the match, where it's just like Suzume takes a beating, but she eventually just figures out a way to get past it. Like, we saw in, she didn't win this match, but the match against Miyu Watanabe earlier this year, so much of that match was just her trying to figure out, all right, how do I not get hurt by her moves? How do I get out of this stuff? And so much of wrestling is, I'm going to get hit with that, but then I'll just stand back up. Where, like, she has such a different approach to things. I love it. It's so good. It's so different. And Rika was so great in this match, too. She complimented the style so well and was just fantastic as the dominating veteran here. And until she got hit with that cutter out of nowhere. And then lost. I went 4.5 on this. I thought it was tremendous.
I went 4.75. Wow. I thought everything after the slap was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Rika's slap, which shocked the hell out of me.
Yes.
It shocked me so much that there was the moment late in the match where they both grabbed each other. And I, for a moment, thought that they were going to shoot headbutt each other. Like in a Tokyo Joshi match where I'm like, that would never, ever happen ever.
No.
But for a moment, I thought, are they going to do that? And no, they didn't. They ended up choking each other. But I loved it. I loved the double knockdown. And there was a weird point with a crowd where I feel like they don't do that often. And they sort of got knocked down and people were doing calls. And then all of a sudden got very quiet as to be like, what's really happening here?
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, they're both knocked down and they started the count. Doesn't really happen a lot, you know, center ring. Obviously, they go out into the crowd and, you know, start the count there. But that, I loved the catch of the ring a bell into the dragon sleeper.
Yes.
I think you know, it could have been Rika, very well could have been Rika, but the fact that so many of these Suzume matches have those type of things where it's like, oh, the ring of bell gets caught into the something, you know, giant swing, I think was one, into the dragon sleeper here. Maybe she's just sitting around thinking like, oh, on the roster, who could catch me in something where when I try and do the ring of bell? Yeah. Just thought it was great. I sort of got anti-spoiled because I thought I saw something showing that Rika won. And so I was surprised at the end when Suzume won. I was like, oh, great. Just a great match. And I was just thinking, I would have to go back and look at all my notes because I don't remember them all specifically. Tokyo Joshi, all of these Korakins, I feel like they've had, at this point, what, 4 or 5 of them? Maybe more, 6?
Like this year?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I think I have something like every main event at 4.5 or above or something. I would have to go back and look at all the main, but I know I had 1-4 really high.
Yeah.
I
mean, the one that would have given me pause was going to be the Irai Kamiyu match, and then that rocked.
But like Irai Yamashita was really high. So that's at least three. I think that's at least three. I've rated at least 4.75. And I still, I know it's been years and this sort of, we've moved on from this talking point of things. But if you told me in 2019, like, hey, you'll have three show Tokyo Joshi shows in a row, well, you'll rank the main event 4.75 stars, I would have been like, what are you talking about? And who's wrestling?
Yeah.
Like the old Tokyo Joshi was like, if I get 1 4-star match on this show, it's a really good Tokyo Joshi show. And now I've got 2 4-star matches and 1 is 4.75. Just amazing. It seems clear to me. I mean, a great sign that the numbers went up like they did attendance wise with Arai only in the semi-main maybe speaks to some general promotional growth,
yeah,
which would be great. I mean, also considering across town, they're not rivals in that way, but their rival promotion, quote unquote, did 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
There were, you know, 6,000 people in Tokyo watching women's wrestling. Very impressive. When you consider 5 years ago, they were doing 500 for these final shows, you know. So okay. Great show.
I brought up Kurikan shows from Tokyo Joshi this year. So the fourth, the 1-4 was Miyu and Suzume, and fucking awesome.
Yes, which I think I went 5 on.
Yeah, I think I was 4.75. February was the
Max
Princess.
Hart.
Yeah, Max Hart finals, Oberitz defeating Mizuki and Uda. I don't remember what I went on that.
I don't have it either.
Yeah, we must not have. Maybe we only went like 3 and something on there.
Hmm.
Then, Yes Wonderland in May was main evented by Irai and Endo. That was fine. I don't remember like loving that match, but I think it was all right.
I went 4 stars.
Okay. Oh yeah, that also had the Inspiration versus Hakuchumu. And then we bring Standalone, which is the Irai Kamiyu match, and then Irai Yamashita, and then this one.
So I guess it's just 1-4 and then the last two.
Yeah.
I mean, but solid stuff. I mean, like, on the Standalone show, the tag title match, I went 4.25. That wasn't the main event. But, you know, in the Yes Wonderland, I went 4 stars on the main event, and I went 4 stars on Suzume and Haru.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Korakins are always strong, as Kelly said.
Yeah, and even when you don't have like a 4-star main event, the shows are still good. Like, it's, you're not bored watching them.
So definitely recommend checking out that show. What else has happened in the world of stardom? Well, the 5-star ended. It's over now, so it's over.
You know, actually, I know in our notes we said you asked if I want to talk about other stuff, and I said not particularly. I thought of something I want to talk about because it was insane and I felt like I was in a different universe. So at the Kurikan show, the quarterfinals, it would be, the crowd was going fucking bananas for Ruwaka of all people. And I just was like, what is wrong with all of you people? This is legitimately one of the worst wrestlers in the world. Why are you cheering for her? And then, like, she loses the match, and then Tora is like, you know, it helps her up and is like getting people to cheer for her more. And I'm like, why are you doing that? You're a bad guy. Why do you care about these people's validation? And I got real mad about that. And I just needed to share that.
Well, there you go. Happy to help you get things off your chest.
Yeah, I'd blocked it out, and then it came back, and I just got all mad about it again.
Oz had a Corkin Hall show on the 16th. Two title changes. Kakeru won the Pioneer title from Ryu Mizunami in a match with Akino. And Sayori Ano and Unagi Saiga won the Oz tag team titles from Hiroya Matsumoto and Zones. Kelly, you want to talk about this marvelous show that happened? This was, I guess, two episodes ago.
Yeah.
But was very noteworthy, a thing we didn't cover last episode. So I will throw it to you.
Yeah. Talking about the marvelous show from the 8th at Currican Hall. I had just gotten around to watching it this past week. So I thought we should talk about the top two matches. Takumi Iroha beating Senka Akatsuki. This was awesome. This really felt like a good bit of progression for Senka, where it kind of turned into like her matches kind of started feeling the same. She was doing the pin escape thing a whole lot. And this really wasn't that. She kind of stood and she hung with Iroha for quite a while in this match. And then eventually just her body gave out and she eventually lost by a standing 10 count. Because just Iroha was beating the shit out of her. And at one point she was just like power bombs the shit out of her and then makes her stand back up again and just does it again. Like it was good. It was a really good match. I went 4.25 on it. I think this is a good kind of, I don't want to say character building match for Senka, but I can't really think of a better way to describe it. And then in the main event, Sari defeats Miyu Momono in a fucking incredible match. I went 4.75 on it. Uncle Dave went 5. He threw the big old 5 on this one. I was exhausted after watching this match. Like, this was, you know, your traditional Sari match, but also just worked at, like, the high-speed style that Miyu works everything at. So, like, this was a step down from the level of violence we saw in the Sari Iroha match from earlier this year, but it wasn't that far removed. It was still like a very mean and gritty match, but everything was really smooth. Like everything just looked great. This is one of my favorite matches of the year. This is currently in my top 10. So I absolutely loved it. If you have not seen it yet, I give it my highest recommendation.
All right, and Wave had a Corican Hall show on the 15th. Some title changes there. Kaho Kobayashi and Zones winning the tag titles, and Haruka Umesaki successfully challenging Itsuki Aoki to win the Regina DeWave title after winning the Catch the Wave tournament. That was the Yumi Oka 25th anniversary show, and in the spirit of Joshi, I guess, the main event was Ken Oka and Yumi Oka going 11 minutes. So, yeah.
Is there any relation there?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of, but
no,
maybe...
I've never thought about that until seeing them in a match against each other.
Yeah, not to my knowledge. They just have the same last name.
Yeah.
That's
like for a while, I, for whatever reason, had convinced myself that Miyu Watanabe and Evil were siblings. Because they both had the last name of Watanabe, and I thought I had read that at some point.
Just like when I thought Palm Harajuku was a former MMA fighter.
I mean, I could see it.
Sarism 11 also happened just hours ago. That was Sarism 11, main evented by Spark Rush versus Natsupoi and Sioria No.
I bet that's good.
Neither Kelly and I have watched it yet, but sure, it's very good. Kelly, what has been happening in Choco Pro?
On the 16th, they had Choco Pro 540 with a subtitle of Fruit Juice, 2,545%. I really only wanted to talk about this show because that's a fun name. In the main event, Super Asia title match, Miya Yatsuba successfully retains over Chie Koshikawa. And then I'm not sure when it's coming up, but they have their 14th anniversary show where Miya is going to defend against Emi Sakura. So that should be a good time.
What is coming up in Joshi? Stardom has a Korakuen Hall show on September 6th. As Kelly mentioned, that will have the Yuna Mizumori Koguma high-speed title match. Seedling has a Korakuen Hall show that will, I believe, have happened by the time this episode comes out. Main evented by Kelly's favorite duo of wrestlers. It will be Unagi Saika and Honori Hana defending the tag titles against La Pedida and Ka Kedida.
We're still doing it.
We're still doing it. Kelly, also interesting, something I don't think have talked about on the show, happened a few months ago, but in the semi-main of this show, the semi-main is an over-the-top rope eight-person tag. Mima Shimoda, Makoto, Veni, and Nagisa Nozaki facing off against Ayame Sasamura, Mirai, Chan Yoda, and Hikari Noah.
Yeah, she's back.
Is back. Has mostly been working the Unagi Sayaka produced shows. I think she's had six matches, and four of them have been on the Unagi shows, but interested to see her back.
Yeah, she was on some show I watched. I don't remember what it was. I don't think I've seen any of the produce shows. I don't know. But yeah, no, it's kind of crazy that she's back, and just I really haven't heard anything about it.
It was like, oh, she's coming back, and then everyone stopped talking about it.
Yeah.
What else is happening? Well, Kelly,
ugh.
Get ready.
Ugh.
Get hyped.
Ugh.
Because you thought the tournaments were done?
No.
You thought they were done? Buddy, we've saved the best for last.
I bet we have.
It is the Dream Star, the Marigold Dream Star Grand Prix kicking off at Korakuen Hall on August 28th. Four leagues of wrestlers, some highlights from day one, August 28th at Korakuen Hall. Miko Aono versus Misa Matsui will be happening. Mayu Iwatani versus Komomo Minami. Mai Sakurai versus Victoria Yuzuki.
Okay.
Can get into that. Yeah. Of course, the feud of the century, Kelly.
Oh, God.
Will continue. Koke Amore versus Chika Goto.
Yeah,
Will be happening on that show. Amongst many more. The second day, the very next day, August 29th. Victoria Yuzuki versus Hummingbird on that show. Koke Amore versus Megaton.
Oh, I bet that's going to be a fucking Matt classic.
On 9-5, September 5th, they have two shows in Osaka, a day show and a night show. Mai Sakurai versus Chi-Chi.
Okay.
Happening on that show. Mayu Iwatani versus Nao Ishikawa.
Man, that could be good.
Happening on the night show, Miko Aono versus Yuka Yamazaki. And then on the 6th of September, they have the last show of this 2-week period, Chika Goto versus Megaton. How many times do you think Chika Goto's going to get Megaton around?
I don't know. Like, just, when I picture that match in my head, it's got Rossi standing at the table screaming, "You're fat," at both of them.
The hat popping off the head because
of yeah,
the steam.
Yeah, the steam comes out of the top of his head and his ears, and he's just really mad that they're so fat.
A lot of wrestlers in this tournament I know nothing about. Diana Strong, Mila Schmidt, Aaliyah James. Maybe they could be good.
These all sound like NXT women.
I think Aaliyah James was, wasn't she?
You tell me.
I don't know. I don't watch the program, pal.
Anytime I see people talking about NXT, it all sounds like AI people. Like, none of them sound real.
She was, according to Cage Match, a WWE developmental wrestler from 2020 to 2023. Interestingly, Cage Match says she was a singles wrestler from 2019 through today. She was a tag team wrestler only from 2019 to 2020. And then was a developmental wrestler from 2020 to 2023. Those are different things. What does she do now? Oh, she's had matches for Ring of Honor, the hot promotion Ring of Honor.
Oh, God.
She teamed with Billy Starks in a losing effort against Alex Windsor and Yuka Sakazaki on Ring of Honor on Honor Club 138.
What a strange grouping of people that is.
What else is this? Okay, let's see. In 2026. Oh, Spark Joshi. She has appeared in one MLW match.
Every time I see fucking Hazuki come to the ring with the Spark Joshi title, I'm always like, put that away. You don't need to have that with you.
Oh, she's also a Shine wrestler.
Oh.
The promotion I keep forgetting still exists.
Yeah.
Oh, and she wrestles for Hustle. This seems copyright infringement. Hustle Wrestling.
Not that Hustle.
Not that Hustle. Hustle that's main evented by Rain Leverkusen, defeating Ted Sabin, maybe a brother, and Wild Boar.
Oh, so it's like a Chikara spinoff? Is Wild Boar the same as the Boar of Moldova?
No, I think that's a different. The Wild Boar actually is now known as Mike Hitchman.
Well, that's
who was a WWE development wrestler.
God damn it! Oh, Wild Boar is like a fucking NXT UK guy.
Sure.
I feel like I remember that.
What about Emma Corsi and Rocco Garza?
Those aren't real people.
The Lion Pride, Emma Corsi and Rocco Garza defeat EM Zero of Kali Gray and Jack Landers. I could be reading you like fanfic.
You could be saying any names to me. And I'd be like, yeah, sure.
Aaliyah James on this Hustle show defeated Nina Samuels, who is a real wrestler that I have heard of.
Yeah, I know that name. I don't think I've ever actually seen her wrestle, but maybe I have. She's a British one, isn't it? Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
She's tall.
Okay. I think I know who this is. Yes.
Question mark. She's tall.
I feel like I know who this tall girl is.
Oh, Aaliyah James has had a AEW Collision match, losing to Hikaru Shida in 1 minute and 40 seconds back in August of 2024.
Jeez.
Anyway, we've gone far too long on this subject. That's the Marigold Dreamstar Grand Prix. Get into it.
Every now and then we have a little bit on the show where we just read names to each other off of Cage Match for a little while.
Sendai Girls has a show, The Top of Joshi Wrestling. It's back on August 28th. Kelly, Sendai Girls having a good year, but I have a question.
Okay.
Why do they use Kurishio Tokyo Japan on every big show they do?
They fucking love Jiro.
They love that man. Manami and Ryu Mizunami. Ah, an interesting duo. Facing off against who? Ah, Veni. Interesting. And Kurishio Tokyo Japan. Like,
so that's three of the four people that were in the last Jiro match.
Yeah, I guess he just wants to work with the same people over and over.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think, who was the four? Oh, was it it was Desperado. So Minami has taken over El Desperado's spot.
But the big three on this show are the junior championship is going to be Spike Nishimura defending against Miko Kanai. That should be good.
Okay.
The retirement road continues as it will be Baba Mobo Banana, Yurika Oka, and Mia Momono facing off against Sierra Yano and Natsupoi.
You got me scared for a second. I was like, who's retiring in Baba Mobo Banana?
And the main event, will it happen again? Are the rakes out? Chihiro Hashimoto defends against Mika Iwata.
Oh, Chihiro's retaining. Safest bet in wrestling.
This is going to be the one, Kelly.
Nah. Finally. It's not.
Finally, et cetera, et cetera.
I think, I feel like Hashimoto's going to have this belt for a long time. I think I remember her saying she wants to have a super long reign, and I know that's just a thing wrestlers say, but it felt to me like, okay, this is what we're doing for a while.
Yeah, brother, you're getting worked.
Ah, shit,
getting worked by workers.
Shit, you hit me with the fucking Aubrey Sitterson.
And then Ice Ribbon has a show on the 30th of August. I guess we can also talk about Tsukasa Fujimoto returning.
What?
Wrestling as well, yes. She will be on the Seedling show. She will be on this Ice Ribbon show, but this Ice Ribbon show is main evented by a tag title match. Sumiki Yanagawa and Makoto up against Hikari Minami and Minami Katsu. So that is happening there, but that is all the exciting action happened. Kelly, get ready to talk a lot of Dream Star Grand Prix next episode.
Oh no.
Just what I know you want to do.
You're going to trick me into watching these shows and you're not going to watch a second of it.
I'm not going to trick you. You're going to slide in my DMs and go, "Oh, I watched all these shows." I didn't tell you to do that.
I watched the fucking Hatman show. Sucked.
We all have free will in this life.
Yeah. I was thinking about watching that, the Spark Rush match from Marigold from whenever the hell that happened, and then I was like, oh yeah, that was probably a pay-per-view, and then I was like, well, not gonna happen that today.
No, I think they've dropped a lot of their...
Oh really?
I think so.
That's good,
because I remember one of the last ones I thought was going to be pay-per-view was not,
because I ain't giving the Hat Man fucking any money. Put that hat back on your head. There's no money going in it. Make a good show, then I'll give you money.
Yeah, Kelly, the Dream Star Grand Prix opening night is totally accessible with only a Wrestle Universe subscription.
Well, all right, I've got one of those.
And if you've ever wanted to see, oh my God, this is so many matches. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. If you've ever wanted to see 12 Marigold singles matches,
no,
you're in luck.
I've literally never thought that. Even when they had lineups that were better than the one they have now.
Well, anyway, that's all for us on this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. But before we go, of course, we have to go over to Kelly's Corner.
So I had a topic in mind, and I was like, I don't need to write that down. I'll remember it. Now we're here. I don't remember it. I should have wrote that down. I've been watching some of the HBO Max. I remembered organically. I did it. Fucking, I was watching the HBO Max. Have you seen any of that Larry David History of the United States show?
I have not, no.
It's very good. It's very funny. And watching that made me realize that I never finished the last season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, so I also watched that, and goddamn, I fucking love that show. In my soul lives a little Larry David.
Interesting. Now, are you going to watch Lanterns? Isn't Lanterns on HBO Max?
I watched the first episode and enjoyed it.
Okay. It did look interesting.
Yeah, it's good so far. I'm probably, as soon as we're done recording, well, no, I'll watch General Hospital first. But then maybe I'll watch episode 2 of Lanterns. I have my priorities.
Don't let anyone ever tell you you're not an interesting and fascinating person.
So the other week I canceled my cable subscription. I officially cut the cord. And, you know, when you're doing that, you got to go through the whole fucking process of like, well, why are you canceling? Well, what if we can give you a better deal? And I was like, I only watched 2 shows. And they're like, well, what are those shows? And I said, AEW Dynamite and General Hospital. And the guy on the phone said, oh, wait, what? That's weird. Like, he totally broke from professional new phone man to be like, what fucking choices have you made in your life that have led you to this?
You like serialized entertainment.
Yeah.
With high drama. Well, that is all for us on this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio, but we will be back with you in 2 weeks' time to talk even more. So until then, farewell.
Bye, everybody.
New Japan Pro Wrestling is so back! Are you out of the loop? You want to know what's happening before the rest of the Yankoid imbeciles? Want to find out who be the top guys in AEW in 2028?
Then listen to the Super J-Cast, premier authority of New Japan Pro Wrestling, that keeps Chris Charlton up at night.
We cover New Japan at every level, in the ring, the backstage politics, the cross-promotional drama, the history, and what it all means for the future, the good, the bad, and the great Okan.
And no company glazing PR here, no move-by-move recaps. Just brutally honest analysis, unrivaled contacts inside the company that put the rest of the wrestling journalists to shame, and quite frankly, irritating track records of being right before everyone else.
We broke the Okada story. We broke the Forbidden Door story. We've told you what was coming before, and we'll fucking do it again.
Super J-Cast, listen now. Then, in 3 years, pretend you knew it all along.